Thank you, Don. Good evening, everybody. This is the Monday evening call with an, at this point, unknown topic by Winfrey. Thank you for being here. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. This is a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line. Every time you hear a ding, that's somebody else joining in.
You know what, Heis? I think Winfrey is an unknown topic.
Yes.
It's always fascinating.
All right.
Julia, this is Marilyn in Pennsylvania. Maybe ask Wynn. I would maybe we could get together and talk if we could share our phone number sometime. But I think you should ask Wynn if he thinks it's a good idea. I really feel a lot of love and compassion for you, and I've been through a lot too. But see what he thinks.
Thank you, Marilyn. Very kind offering.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah. Ask Wynn.
And I will do that for you, Julia. No worries.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heis.
All right. We had more people join in. Welcome you all to the Monday night call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Uncle Terry.
How are you doing, Dr. Friedman?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Uncle Terry.
Hi there.
That was a wonderful call. Wonderful call on Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for doing that. We had more people join in. I welcome you. Dance, please say your name and location.
Dharmananda.
Just two people at the same time.
Dharmananda.
Hi, Dharmananda. Welcome to the call.
Hi, how are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Okay. Am I echoing again?
No, you're sounding great.
Okay, good.
All right. Who else joined in?
Hi, Gail from New Jersey.
Hi, Gail. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Kim in Florida.
Hi, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
All right. Thank you for being here.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heis.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man.
Uncle Terry, how you doing?
Thank you.
Hey, Terry.
We had a storm here, but I didn't have electricity for a whole day, so I'm better now.
All right, well, I'm glad you're on the phone right now.
Yeah.
Terry Friedman.
All right.
Terry, my mother says it's the best book she had ever got given or read.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Jim in Sedona. Hello, Heis.
Sedona, Jim, good evening. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
All right, thank you for being here. More people have joined in. I welcome you all. If a chance, please say your name and location.
This is Wynn.
Hi, Wynn, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound well.
I'm using a new microphone.
Okay, good.
So it sounds as good as normal, right?
We need to wait till the lines are muted.
Okay. I can switch to the other one if I need to. I think I can find it.
All right. I welcome those people who just joined in. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Steve in Illinois.
Who's this?
Steve in Illinois.
From Illinois, welcome to the call.
Lauren in California.
You're right. Who's this from California?
Hey, Lauren. Hi.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hey, hi. This is David Mesa.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing, brother?
Good.
All right.
Yeah, when the mic does sound better, it sounds muffled.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
All right.
Did somebody say I sounded muffled?
You don't sound muffled anymore. You sound better today.
I sound better. Thank you.
Yes.
Dave, you still got your good job?
Dave Mesa.
He does. Yeah.
What?
Is that Donna?
Yes.
Hi, Donna.
Hey, Lynn.
You're back in Montana, right?
Yeah. Been here a long time.
I know.
But, you know, I leave every night when I go to sleep.
Right.
Donna,
I think you're half gone when you're awake as well.
I agree with that. I can do that.
Yeah.
Donna has a good mic. That's what you should get.
Hey, Vin, I want to share with you that Julia is also with us tonight, and she's going through some heavy circumstances. And we did a little prayer for her silently before the call. I just want you to know she's here, and I will send you an email, but also. Maybe we want to talk to her on the phone. Also, Marilyn from Pennsylvania wants to gather with her on the phone. Give her some support.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi. You'll get through it.
Poor Wynn.
Oh.
You'll get through it.
No, you're loved very much, Julia.
Yeah, you're loved. We're all sending you love.
Thank you.
Should we send you money, too?
Why is he crying?
Don't ask. It's probably personal, okay? Don't put her on the spot. I'm glad you're here. Okay.
Thank you.
We love you, Julia.
Love you, Julia.
Thank you.
Is Terry Friedman on the line?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm here.
Hi, Terry.
We'll send some love to you too, Terry.
Thank you.
Let's send love all the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they go around.
That's why we're here.
Yep.
The more you give, the more you get.
Hey, Teddy, Brown.
I think we're about ready to start.
Yes, let's mute the line.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Entry next time they're off. Monday evening.
Terry Brown, are you there?
I know she's here. Yes,
I'm here. I'm here.
Good to hear you, Terry.
Thank you.
Hey, Ben, let's do a microphone test. It doesn't sound the greatest, to be honest with you.
It doesn't.
No, it sounds hollow.
It's hollow.
Yes.
Oh, now you tell me. Let me see. Oh, God. Terry, are you using the new mic? What's here, are you?
No, I'm not using the new mic. I'm just using the phone because it's paired with the new mic, and I can't figure out how to pair it again with the other. It says it's paired with the one I usually use, but it won't work. So I'm just using the phone. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, let me see here. Now, I got to... Hang on a second. Hang on. I'm going to turn this mic off.
All is good. We're not recording yet. So, welcome all those who are coming in through BBS Radio. Thank you very much for being here. We have a bunch of people here on the phone line. It's a simulcast with a conference call. And tonight we have a topic without a topic, as far as I know.
Is this better, Hive?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is my old mic. You guys don't know all we've had to go through. I have a graveyard of microphones here that we've gone through. And some are better than others, believe it or not. And I don't know if you guys have ever used Bluetooth, but we got really addicted to Bluetooth because it kind of gives this sense of freedom of not having wires going to your phone. And then there are so many Bluetooth microphones, and you think the more expensive ones are better. But that is not necessarily true. So let me start our recording. And let's see, I think I want to... I am going... Let's see if I can find Terry Friedman here. Can we unmute Terry Friedman, Hyatt?
Yes. Let me do that here in a second.
Yeah.
All right. Uncle Terry, here we go.
I did it, Hyatt.
Oh, no, we did it at the same time.
Okay. Good. Because one of us didn't mute him, the other muted him. Terry, are you there? Let's hear you.
Yes, I am here, Wynn.
Well, it is so nice to have you. And let me start our recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 28th, 2014. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, Terry Friedman in Phoenix, and Hyatt in Megalia, and all of you all over the place, wherever you are. And sometimes it is so amazing to be sitting in this position that I'm sitting in. Because when we first started doing all of this, we only started with one call a week, Monday, and I said, I'm only going to do one call a week. I don't want to do more than one call. And then we started to do the Sunday call. And, they were really awkward at first. We still have all the recordings of our original calls. And we were basically stumbling all over ourselves. And some of you remember, I would always call it an experiment. And we were building energy. And people were trying to figure out what's going on here, the people that were coming into the calls. And it's like we've come to the point where so many of you are holding energy, and that we hit the ground running.
Hey, Brown.
What? Is Terry making all that noise?
No, Terry, it's her phone.
Terry?
She's muted right now.
I'm muted. I don't know why it's making noise because I'm just totally silent, but I'll mute it.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's probably picking up your astral noise. Right? Okay. And so, it was an experiment. I didn't know where it was going, and you didn't know where it was going, and Terry didn't know where it was going. And this idea of group energy was something that I was learning about. I didn't understand it. And this idea... You know, for the first few years, we were just getting all this amazing information, and I didn't understand that the Elohim really could connect with us energetically. And, I mean, it's even now, I say that with... as if it's true, because so many people have had the experience. I know that when we first started doing calls, I was having the experience. I could feel the energy. But, you know, imagine I'm sitting here in my little body in Sedona, and I'm feeling this energy. but I didn't know other people were feeling it. I thought they might be. Felt like we were connected. And it wasn't until I got all these emails from people that were sharing their experience that I started to get confident that, hey, we are really doing this. We are creating a group energy with the higher realms and us. And then there was this mystery of, how did Jesus fit into this? How did Jesus fit in? Now, you know, when we were originally in my first couple of years with DK, there was one comment. Hang on, just one second. Where they said that Jesus would be coming into our cult. Now, I don't remember if they said he would be or he could be. Okay? We were still in an embryonic stage, and everything was so far out that I said, geez, I don't know if I can handle anymore. And how would you handle Jesus coming in? Is he going to knock on the door and say, hi, guys, I'm here. Are you ready? You know, that question crossed my mind. I couldn't imagine how Jesus would come in. And then, of course, now we have Terry Friedman on the line. And Terry is telling us that he was Matthew. And at this point, I'm convinced. I wasn't convinced at first. I had to go through all my testing of everything. And that Jesus was always with him, and he was watching us. And, you know, one of the things about Terry Friedman is that if you read his book, Jesus made an instruction to all his disciples. Now, you know, after reading Terry's book, I started to get a feeling for how it was to be around Jesus. And, Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You don't mind me talking about you, do you?
Just keep it down.
Keep it down? I have a question for you. Was there ever a time when there was the disciples all surrounded Jesus in a circle and he disappeared from the circle?
In a way, yes. Yes, it was, but it was not like you might expect. It was something a little bit different. It's like we were blinded to the fact he could go into a sarcophagus and have a heavy lid on it, and after so much time, he could disintegrate. Go through the sarcophagus, come out, and we could see him again. It was like an instant where he was not there, and yet then he was back there again. So it was something like that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
disappear briefly.
And was there specifically a time when the disciples went around him in a circle, and that happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Terry didn't know I was going to ask him that. And I asked him for a reason. And it's going to blow your mind, okay? It's like, one of the things that I have experienced around Terry, and when I read his book, I was integrating this, you know. Anyone that says they were somebody famous, there's always suspect, because if you were somebody famous, then, and you talk about it, there is a lower level benefit from it, theoretically. It's really not a benefit. In Terry Friedman's case, it was a terrible difficulty because people thought he had lost his marbles. But on the other hand, there is the benefit that people will look up to you because you were somebody famous. And if they believe it, they would just further give up their own power in this realm. One of the worst, most difficult aspects of spiritually evolving in this realm is empowering yourself and having the experience that you really are part of all that is, not believing it. I mean, you can believe it. That's a good first step. Believing that you are all that is different than experiencing it. And Jesus probably gave so many keys on how to have this experience. I mean, he said, when people asked him, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's not just being nice. It's not because I'm going to be loving to my neighbor. It's because when you learn how to do that, you are connecting to the law of one. You are evolving above the vibrations of this realm. And what does it mean to love yourself, neighbor, as yourself? Does it mean to, I got to be really nice to my neighbor? I got to be really, patronizing? And what do they really need? That's not really what that means. Although it could download into that. But the real essence of it means that you can hold your vibration open in a loving way, and no one can contract you. When you get to the place where your love can be open and no one can contract you, then you will love people despite their frailties, despite their weaknesses, despite their negativity. You'll notice it, and it won't faze you. But when other people cause you to contract, everyone that causes you to contract is part of you reflecting something that's in you back at you. And that is your lesson. You can take that every day, and when somebody causes you to contract, and it could even be the Illuminati, it can be the state of the world, it could be whatever, you are learning where your weak point is, where something is reflected back to you that is your lesson. Now, when that happens, you're not supposed to judge yourself. You're not supposed to say, there I am, I can't make it, I'm contracting. No, because now it makes it worse. You have to just look at it, and you have to notice it and say, there I am contracting. And as soon as you can look at it and just look at it from a detached place, the part of you that's looking at it is above the part that's contracting. So you're building a space outside of the contraction, and as you make that stronger, eventually you won't contract. And to me, loving your neighbor as yourself means being able to notice the contractions in other people and
finding ways to not contract yourself and contribute something to them. And it can be a kind word. It could be they're sick and you knock on their door and you say, can I help? But you've got to come from real care. You can't come from Jesus saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's not easy. And if you're having a hard time with it, it's okay. Just keep it in your mind as a goal, as a platform, a plateau, that's the right word, a plateau that you can reach. And like any mountain you're climbing, you go step by step. And the first step is to notice that you're doing it. When you don't notice it, when you go relate to it in a negative way, you will start to judge your neighbor. You will find things wrong with them. You will then condescend to them. You will find reasons that you're better than that they are. And now, then you're on a downward path. You're missing the essence of true, I don't want to say Christianity, the true lesson of the law of one. I mean, the Elohim group could be looking down on us and saying, look at all those idiot earth people, man. We're here, we give them all this stuff, and they never get it. And I think sometimes they've gotten to the place where they've gotten frustrated. And they're so happy to have this connection with us right now. It's really rare for a group in this realm to be doing this. And I thought I'd turn it over to Terry, because I wanted him to comment on his experience of what I'm saying about loving your neighbor as yourself, and maybe give it from the perspective of how he learned that, having been with Jesus.
Well, first I would say we're talking about compassion. And that doesn't mean that we're psychologically dealing with them on that basis. But we're dealing with them on a heart basis, or a I am that I am. That I look at it as how I learned it is holding my hand up, and I have four fingers and a thumb. We're all part of the same one, but yet we got some uniqueness about us. We're still part of the same part, the hand, and that everyone on there, every finger, is the example of that. And when I learned not to be judgmental, that's the last thing you want to do, or be, but to be accepting them for one of God's children, just as you are. And we're a part of that whole energy. And we're connected by our heart. Our hearts, and I am, the I am, connects us all as one. And when I started learning not to be judgmental, that was such a big issue with me. Because I was trained as a medical doctor to find problems with individuals or a fault with them somehow that needed to be fixed. When I was willing and able and recognized to put that aside and to look at everyone as one with me, then I began to get the picture. And that was hard to do because of my education. As they say, we're trained to observe a person and find out what is going on and how can we be helped. But that is really not the thing we should do as spiritual people. We should look at them as our equals in every way, and of a child of our Father, who is a child of God, just as we are. So that's when things began to gel for me in that way. It wasn't a constant thing, but I was constantly aware of it. So it's like realizing that at times, and other times you lose that realization. You're not there 100% of the time, but little by little you get more to the point where that is with you, that feeling of oneness with everyone and everything is with you more and more. And soon it becomes an everyday thing and every minute thing and every second thing. And that's when your growth is wonderful and when you have a great, great enlightenment at that point. Thank you.
Terry, when you were with Jesus, did you feel enlightened, or did you feel like you were just so in awe of what he was doing that you wanted to give it support?
At first, I was in awe. It was like a magnetic. I was attracted to him. And then I became in awe of him. And then I tried to emulate him. And he brought me in, like he did the other disciples, to show us, to teach us how to be that. And little by little, it came more natural to you to be like him. That was our goal. So it was a stepwise thing that we went from one point of being attracted magnetically to the point where we attempted and recognized the importance was to be like him.
And at one point, he told all his disciples that you're supposed to be the shepherds of men.
That's correct.
And you really have integrated that, have you not?
Well, I hope I have. I had my name legally changed to include that in my middle name.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a very important thing, because when he was crucified and ascended, we were told to go out from that area, from the area of Jerusalem and from the area of Israel, to go beyond that and proselytize and tell of the experiences that we shared with Jesus. And that was a very powerful thing. Not everybody appreciated that. We met a lot of hostility, like we do today. We try to develop that kind of, reveal that kind of energy. But we still went on, continued to share that energy with everybody, which we came in contact with. And he said to us, go two by two and proselytize about me and what I taught you. And that's what we did.
You went two by two, like you paired up with each other and went out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, there's been something that I have been exploring over the past month, and it's kind of amazing considering everything that we're... By the way, I wanted to mention, if we look at this progression of Jesus and the Christed energy, then we have, I talked about this in another call, but to me, I'll say it again because it is so amazing we have Terry Brown, who is almost certainly St. Catherine of Siena. I mean, I've explored this. I've read about St. Catherine. I've read her personality. I read her channelings at the time. And of course, everyone knows that Terry Brown is the spitting image of St. Catherine. Now, the amazing thing about St. Catherine's channelings were, of course, she was always referring to Jesus. And the emphasis was on correcting the corruption in the Catholic Church. It was very controversial. And at first, they didn't know what to make of her. We're talking about the church, because she was in this little church in Siena, Italy, and it's not like everyone was saying, yay, God's talking to us through St. Catherine. It was catalytic. But people would follow her around. She had this group of women that adored her. And it's fascinating to read this, because being with Terry, knowing Terry Brown, it's like she is loving the role she's playing here, but not from any ego point of view, but she is so dedicated to service in this realm. And it's like she holds the energy easily of someone that could have been a saint. Of course, St. Catherine wasn't a saint when she was alive. She was just this crazy woman who had voices speaking through her. And what happened, of course, was the church, Jesus never... I learned this from Terry Friedman, and even in the Bible, Jesus never encouraged the forming of a church around him. That was not his... Am I right on that, Terry?
That's correct. That is correct. He said, where I am is a church.
Yeah. And then he said, the kingdom of heaven is inside you.
Right.
And churches try to... they don't try. They create this illusion that by going to the church, by tithing, by following the rituals of the church, that will get you to heaven. And that is not what Jesus said. He said, love your brother, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, as you do it to the smallest of these, you do it to me. Now, he didn't mean him. Well, he was taking the role of the Christed energy. And he didn't say, as you do it to the smallest of those that follow me. He didn't say that. He said, as you do it to the smallest of these. When he told his apostles to go out and be shepherds, he didn't say, be shepherds to the people that follow me. He said, be shepherds to everyone. And I just want to make sure I'm correct there. Right, Terry?
Right.
So he was looking at humanity from a place of oneness, not from a place of... how many of you think that if people believe the same things, you have more affinity with them? It's not true. You know, people make little subgroupings, and they need people to believe what they believe in. They need people to, when you talk about, the spiritual thing, of course, it is good to have people that are energetically connected together. And the positive side of churches is if they are really doing their job, the best thing that a church does is it creates, when two or more are gathered, I am also present. Because when people gather with a high intent and with a surrendering, surrendering of their individual selves in a moment. You never surrender your individual self, but in a moment, you can be part of a group energy, and you can choose out of your empowerment to be part of that group energy because that's for the highest good. Why does the Ra group be a group soul? It's made up of individuals, but they know that their power comes from the way they group their energies together. And when you have big things to accomplish, it takes group energy to accomplish them. Even if it looks like there's a leader, the leader may be the facilitator, the person that inspires the group energy, but it's the group energy that does the work. That's another thing I learned from Terry Friedman, where Jesus was well aware of this. And Terry remembers that, you can clarify the incident, but where when Jesus was doing his miracles, he needed his disciples to give of their energy in order to support the miracle. Now, you know, when I say give of your energy, it sounds like there's a choice. But in fact, it's not a choice. When you reach a certain level of connection and a certain level of affinity and a certain level of trust, your energy gives of itself automatically. Many of you give of your energy on this line, and you make something special by that giving and by showing up. And you've learned how to do it. And we've had to work to develop your trust, to develop, you know, the idea that we're not having any agendas and that... But at a certain point, something internally shifted, the energy was just there. You didn't have to say, I'm going to give you my energy. If you have to decide that, it's probably not of the highest thing, and the energy you're giving is at a lower level, because at the highest level, you don't have to decide. And we're doing this without any rituals, without any even formal prayers. It just happens just through our intention. And it happens because Terry gives her energy, and I give my energy, and Terry Friedman gives his energy, and Hive gives his energy. And so many of you that are there listening now are giving your energy, and you're part of a creative process as that occurs. And I keep observing how amazing what happens is because we're in this process. And, you know, I said breakthrough on the email if you happen to read it. And here's the breakthrough. And about 6 weeks ago, I'm on the mailing list of BBS Radio, and they have people all the time submitting the resumes to be interviewed, because BBS probably has about 40 shows, and then they send out all these people that want to be interviewed about anything and everything. And usually, as you guys know, that I don't usually interview people on these calls because most people don't match the energy of what we're doing, and it would actually go to a lower level. If you notice how the relationship with Gary Friedman has evolved, the relationship with Carla Rucker has evolved, we are all part of the group energy, and we're not dealing with each other about who's getting the attention or, you know, see, that's at the lower levels. People say, geez, I don't want to bring somebody in. He might outshine me. You know, I don't really care. I hope they do. I hope Jesus comes in on the call. I hope he outshines me because I'm not competitive. We are holding energy for our group and even for our planet. And I'm only one little guy. But all this amazing stuff has unfolded around this. And so one of the people who was on this BBS list of potential people to interview was a guy who had a friend who he was alleging his friend was channeling John the Beloved. And I looked at some of his channelings. I contacted him. I didn't tell him much about myself. And, of course, he was interested in talking about it. And I talked to him, and I wanted to see if I thought it wasn't authentic. And so he sent me a bunch of the sessions they had done. And in one of the sessions, they talked about all the disciples being in a circle and Jesus disappearing. And then there was an energy that was coming through some of the words of John the Beloved that was so similar to Terry. Not the same, but similar. Things that I never really grasped ever in my study of the Bible or Jesus. And I wasn't brought up a Christian. I never thought of myself as a Christian. But I was fascinated with Jesus. And I read the New Testament a long time ago. And I just said, I'm going to take what I know is true out of this. And I found a huge amount of wisdom and understanding in the words of Jesus that I thought, this guy really was onto something. How did he know this? He was really onto it. And so the amazing similarity, I'm sure there's more than one, had to do with this guy's John the Beloved. Now remember, it wasn't a reincarnation of John the Beloved. It was his friend that was channeling John the Beloved. And John the Beloved had exactly the same dedication of being a shepherd of men that Terry Friedman has. And he was saying that's the reason he was channeling. He said all the disciples made a commitment to be shepherds. And that didn't mean just that lifetime. That meant for all time, probably, to be a shepherd of men. And I could feel that. And he said, that's the reason he's channeling. And he channels through other people. And that's the way he is fulfilling his commitment to being a shepherd. Now, I'm still exploring this. And Terry Friedman, I haven't hardly barely talked to him about it. And so, like any channeling, you know, you can't give up your power to it because It could be John the Beloved, and then it could be something negative coming through that's infiltrating. So you can't believe any channel. You can't believe anything. You can't even believe me, because you have to constantly have your own level of discernment. But the one thing you can believe is that when we're on these calls, there's an energy on the call which is incredibly loving. And it goes right through the phone line. It goes right through the computer. It's the Elohim saying it's them. And many people who never experienced feeling loved in their life suddenly feel love on this call. And regardless of what we say, and regardless of the information we bring through, that love is what validates this work. And your ability to receive that love, feel that love, and learn how to manifest it, and learn how, you know, to be, in a sense, we are all shepherds. If we're going to fulfill our highest purpose and to take the energies that we're experiencing here, and if you learn to integrate that and hold it, that's the key to graduate this realm. And this is a critical period for humans, because we are creating our future trajectories by our ability to hold our hearts open. And I am so honored to have Terry Friedman working with us, Terry Brown working with us, Carla Ruckert working with us, and whoever comes in the future, they can hold this frequency, hold this energy, and it's building and it's stronger, and I think it's going to explode into the world. And you guys are part of it, because you're holding the energy. And that's the way something starts here. You know, 12 years ago, we were just in little rooms. You know, Terry Brown and I had this amazing experience, because it was hard to live with anyone. It was hard to associate with anyone. She was like working in a legal office, and she'd come home and we'd say, shall we talk to them? And then we'd have these amazing conversations. But imagine we were in somebody else's house, which we were. And I'll tell you what happened. There was a woman who read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, who was a minister. And there was a point where we needed to look for a place to live. And I actually talked at her church about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And she was loving Edgar Cayce. And she was really excited about having us live in our house. And it was a little apartment, two-bedroom apartment. We were in one of the bedrooms. And Terry was working in the legal office, and she would come home. And we were there talking to the Elohim. And in the morning, we'd get up, and she was totally indifferent to the fact that we were talking to the Elohim. She thought we were nuts. I don't know if she thought we were nuts. She didn't know what to make of it. Here she was, a minister. Here we were talking to the Elohim in her little apartment. And I started to realize it was okay to talk about Edgar Cayce, because he was dead. It was okay to write this book, and that made me prominent, and that made me special. But it wasn't okay to be in this little bedroom talking to the Elohim, because she thought it was nuts. And eventually, we moved. She decided that we were so bizarre that I was doing drugs, and it was like crazy. And you know, Terry Friedman, I know that you have had experiences like that with people, because it's you see, when you're reading about stuff, there's a distance. It's a book, and when it's in your face, it's not the same. It's like, and we're still human. We're all very human. We all have our human issues. We all have our human challenges. I do. Terry Brown does. Terry Friedman does. Carla Rucker does. So we're not excluded from being human because we're having these exalted conversations. In fact, we're probably more human. And that means if we're human in doing this, you're human in doing this. You know, just because we're, like, having some position of leadership or showing up all the time doesn't make, you know, I still have all the human concerns. How do we pay the bills? How do we do this? How do we do that? We have to have food. Let's go to shopping. And it's not like I walk around feeling exalted. There was, you know, a few years ago, it was like I was walking around feeling like terrible, having a chip on my shoulder, being pissed off at the world. And we're still having this experience of talking to the Elohim and feeling like, why is anyone interested? Why is no one paying attention? I talk to someone about it and they think I'm nuts. This is the stuff that is so huge. And that's why sometimes people have to die before it gets really big. And I realize that. That's why I put stuff on the internet so it's there as an archive, and that it has the opportunity to at some point create a buzz where, and, you know, we probably have almost 70,000 hits to our archive site. But we're dealing with humanity. We're dealing with billions of people. We need millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people, and putting it out in such a way that it's hard to get corrupted. And I hope, knock on wood, that you can hold that space of not being corrupted. That's why we have no hierarchies. We have no jobs. At some point, it'll have to have jobs because it'll be too many people. And we're just going to have to, and we'll need the money to, even now, there's so many of the mundane tasks that we have to do. You know, even answering emails, sending this, putting things in the mail. And on top of that, we have to run a business earning money to pay the rent or we're selling our pendants. So when we do put something out for sale, we really appreciate your support. And I guarantee that you'll get more value from it than whatever we're charging. Like the astrology workshop, I put a little comment from somebody that attended. And that's something that can help ground you, just understanding your chart. So I'm doing a little pitch. Terry Friedman, we're just about finished. What would you like to say to complete this call?
Well, I think it's very true what you say. And the reason people respond to your power, to your knowledge, or to your wisdom, whatever, in many, many ways. Some people, it doesn't fit into their criteria of what they've been told them, what they may be teaching as a professor somewhere.